Blog Talk Radio.
That's right. Let's go to the movies and let's talk about the movies. It's me. It's Vince. How are you doing? Welcome back. I missed last week. Sorry about that. Had things to do. But I am back this week to talk a little bit about the Oscars. How did your favorite film go? Did it win? Did it not win? Was it even nominated? I will talk a little bit about that. My reaction to the show itself and also my reaction to the winners. And maybe also talk a little bit about DC films if we get a chance. This week, Shazam opens up, so maybe talk a little bit about that. I haven't seen it yet, but I'll tell you why I'm looking forward to it. Anyway, so that's it. That's it. Let's talk about the movies. It's Movie Talk with Vince. How are you doing? All right, here we go. Let's get this show on the road. Let's get it started. But don't forget, if you'd like to join in the chat, there's a call-in number, so I'll give it to you. You can call in. Join me. Tell me what you think about the Oscars this year. The call-in number is 914-205-5404. Once again, 914-205-5404. If you need to write it down, I'll take my time and say it one more time. Nice and slow. It's 9. It's 1. It's a 4. That's 914. That's 205. 5404. Give me a buzz. Let me know what your feelings were in the Oscars this year, and also how you feel what's going on with the DC universe in the film, the DC film universe, whatever you want to call it. DCEU, I think they call it the DC Expanded Universe or Extended Universe, or I have no idea. Anyway, so we'll talk a little bit about that this week on Movie Talk with Vince. So let's get it started. And don't forget, you're going to hear some opinions, mostly mine, well, probably only mine. But it doesn't matter if you agree or not. We're not supposed to agree. We're supposed to discuss. We're supposed to have some fun. And the best way to have some fun talking about this stuff is not to necessarily always agree. Because maybe what you have to say is what might make me think. Maybe what I have to say might make you think. Or maybe it might just make you think, what an idiot that guy is. But anyway, so that's it. That's opinions. You warned. You're about to hear a bunch of them, probably all mine. And also, don't forget, as I'm talking about movies, I may give away some spoilers. So be warned ahead of time. Spoiler alert coming up. All right, so let's get things started. Let's talk about the Oscars. Well, first of all, I'm going to state right at the top here, I didn't watch the Oscars. I haven't actually watched the Oscars in a couple of years. And it's kind of weird. I kind of miss watching the Oscars. But the problem is, I just haven't found it very interesting lately, mostly because 90% of the time when they nominate films, they're not nominating movies that I actually care about. As I said in previous shows, some of my favorite films aren't even being listed. Actually, out of all of the Best Picture nominees, the only one that I saw was Avatar, and I thought it was a decent movie, but I didn't really think it deserved to be nominated for Best Picture. It was a cool film. And special effects-wise, it was great. Story-wise, I felt that it wasn't that great. So nominating for Best Picture, I was like, well, technically, yes, it was a Best Picture, but it's technical aspects. But for story-wise, the acting was decent. I don't think it was that great. I've seen better performances in other films. So I didn't necessarily think that it all added up to be a Best Picture nominee, and definitely not a Best Picture winner. So when it didn't win, I was like, yeah, okay, the first film didn't win. I'm not expecting any of the other other sequels to win, so whatever. But of the other movies that did not win, All Quiet on the Western Front, as I had mentioned in the previous show, I didn't even know existed. I was like, oh, they made another All Quiet on the Western Front film? Who knew? I guess somebody knew because it was nominated. The Banshees of Inisherin, it looked like an interesting film, but not really my type of movie, so I didn't bother seeing that one. Elvis, I heard, some people liked it, some people didn't. I don't usually go by what other people say, but for me, I was like, okay, another Elvis movie. All right, whatever. and didn't really strike me as something that I really needed to go see. The Fablemans looked good, but again, nothing that I was like, oh, I can't wait to go see that. Tar, I don't really know really anything about. The few bits that I've seen of it, I was like, okay, whatever. Again, nothing that I need to be rushing out to the theaters to see. Top Gun Maverick is the only probably nominee that I wish that I had seen. I kept meaning to see that in the theaters, but I just missed it, and I kept, it was one of the things, oh, this week I'm going to go see it, this week I'm going to go see it, and well, now I guess I can see it on at home, but to me, Top Gun Maverick seems like one of those movies that you loses a little bit of something by seeing it on the small screen, because it's this big thing with the flying, and I would just imagine that it probably looks so much better in the IMAX or on the big major screen. And watching it at home, you're like, okay. But from what I've heard, it's a great story. So I am planning on seeing that at some point. Triangle of Sadness, I have no idea what that movie is. I don't know who's in it, don't know who directed it, have never even heard of this film, so I don't know anything about that movie. And Women Talking, again, I don't, that's not even the title of the movie kind of makes me go, yeah, why would I want to watch a movie about women talking? No offense, I'm sure it got nominated for Best Picture. It's probably a great movie. But again, it's the title alone makes me go, not really grabbing me. So, the winner, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. I am very happy that film won. I don't know if I picked it to win, although it did get a lot of kudos when it came out. I didn't see it, but from what I've heard about the story and everything, that it was that out of all these movies, it's probably the one with the most interesting story, one that's not your typical this happens type of movie. It was actually a thinking kind of movie, something that, kind of like what, I guess the best way I would say it is with the superhero and comic book movies, when they have these crossovers, their multiverse and all that stuff, I kind of like that because it's not just a typical, oh, okay, here's the bad guy, they fight him. It's more like something interesting happens. And with Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, from what I've heard, that's what this movie is. It's a very, very interesting, thought-provoking, not your typical Hollywood type of movie. Plus, I guess, how should I say it, you're non-typical American actors. Most of the actors in it were not born in this country. Most of them are Asian. And it got, so I say, kudos for them, for the Academy, for deciding, hey, you know what, we're not just going to give it to Top Gun, which I thought was the one movie that I thought they might have given it to, but I thought was a stretch, because Top Gun is a sequel to a film that came out almost, 30, 40 years ago? It's for the last time they gave a sequel, a sequel of that kind of a nomination, I think was The Color of Money, which was a sequel to a Paul Newman show, and that didn't win Best Picture, but or did it? I don't remember if it did. I don't think it did, but it was nominated. But either way, I think they gave it to Paul Newman as Best Actor. I don't think the film won, which was a Martin Scorsese film. Anyway, so I can look that up. But either way, I give them kudos to the Academy for, and I think for one reason or another, I think the Academy maybe did give it to Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, because it got such great kudos, and it was, and I think this year the Academy Awards really needed a boost up somewhere for them, because last year was such a debacle with the embarrassment that was that flap. And I hate to talk about it, but when you're talking about the Oscars, you can't avoid it. It's only been a year, but that's an embarrassment. And what was embarrassing wasn't just Will Smith's behavior, which was deplorable, but also the way the Academy handled it. Now, I understand on the night of the show, they were caught with their pants down, shall we say. They didn't know what to do. This had never happened in the history of the Academy Awards. Never before had somebody stormed the stage and slapped one of the presenters on live TV. That had never happened before. Nobody ever expected it to. It was something, it's like you're, it's like no one's ever been shot, on the thing. No one's been murdered in the thing. so you're not expecting it to ever happen. And so when, if you had said, you know, up to that point, oh, I think Will Smith, and then you slap Chris Rock before the show, you would have gotten laughed at. But yeah, like that would ever happen on live TV. But it did. And so the Academy didn't know what to do. And supposedly they did ask Chris Rock if he wanted Will Smith escorted out, and he said no. So they let him stay there, and they let him get his award. Well, of course, everyone in the audience, and I know Jim Carrey had spoken about this, and some other people had spoken about how embarrassing it was that everyone gave him a standing ovation. But the thing was, what were you going to do? I mean, I can understand if I was in that audience, I would have been so dumbstruck because, let's face it, you don't know if that was an act. And some people have, I remember even at the time, and still some people afterwards, had claimed, oh, it was all an act. He didn't really hit him, or that was all part of the, but no, it wasn't. It wasn't an act. Chris Rock was really slapped, and Will Smith really did lose his mind. It was, but anyway, so everybody in the theater didn't know how to react. So they just thought, oh, okay, well, we'll just play it off like it didn't happen, and we'll just ignore it, because it wasn't, Will Smith wasn't being arrested. He wasn't being escorted out. Everybody kind of just sat there in the audience, like, oh, okay, well, it's not as big of a deal as we think it is, or whatever. They were in a state of shock, so they just basically ignored it. So when he got his award, everybody gave him a standing ovation, because he deserved a standing ovation if it hadn't been for that. You take that slap out, and it was a big moment for Will Smith in his career to get that Oscar. It was. And on any other night, he would have deserved that standing O. But he slapped somebody. He attacked somebody on stage. So he didn't deserve it anymore. Anyway, so this year the Academy Awards need, and then of course the aftermath was, then once they didn't do anything then they said, okay, well, we have to punish him in some way. So we'll just ban him from the Oscars for the next 10 years. All right, that is a punishment, but it's not much of a punishment. It's like, okay, you shot somebody, so you're not allowed to own a gun anymore. All right. For the next 10 years. All right. But you still shot somebody. It's not real. That's a punishment, but it's not much of a punishment. So really, it's like the most lenient punishment you can give somebody for doing what they did. So whatever. So this year, the Academy Awards, I think, thought they had something to prove and to bring people back. So they tried to do a really good show. I honestly just haven't really cared much about the presentation of the Oscars anymore. I care more about the winners than I do about the show itself. So I didn't watch it, and it really wasn't any for a real reason other than the fact that I just was doing something else, and I just kind of forgot about it. But so it really wasn't about any of that. I wasn't trying to make any kind of a political statement or whatever. Like, oh, I'm not going to watch the show. Damn them. Don't learn their lesson. A person out of 400 million is not going to watch the show. No, the Academy doesn't even know I didn't watch it. They don't even care. And why should they? But anyway, so getting back to this year's show, I think that Everything Everywhere All at Once was kind of a way for the Academy Award to say, look, we're sorry, we messed up, so we're going to do something really generous and give the award to, this Asian American film. So there you go. And they did it, and good for them. I'm happy that they won, because they deserve it. And it's nice to do that, because it shows that we're not just, that Hollywood is just all about, white America or whatever. It's all inclusive. It's like, it doesn't matter who you are. It's all that matters is the quality of the work. And that's really all it should be. The award should not be given out just to who you are, but what you did. It doesn't matter if you're a man, a woman, young, old, black, white, red, yellow, pink, blue, whatever. If it's a good movie, let's applaud it. I know a lot of people out there saying, oh, they get their box office. Nothing. Most of these didn't. Like I said, Women Talking was not a huge box office hit. Triangle of Sadness, I never even heard of that movie. Tar, most of these movies, except for Avatar, or maybe Elvis or Top Gun, were not big box office hits. The Fablemans, not one of Steven Spielberg's. It was, I think The Fablemans made more money than West Side Story, but it didn't make as much money as E.T. So it's nice that it's nice for the filmmakers to get some kind of a kudo, and it also gives a little kick to them. So now they will be making more money. Now people want to work with them more. And so we get the best actor, and again, Brendan Fraser, awesome. He certainly deserved, I didn't see the movie, but he deserves
in recognition for making a comeback after what he'd gone through and been blacklisted from Hollywood. So it's nice to see him making a comeback. So it's good for him. I'm very happy he won. Best actress, again, Michelle Yeoh. Again, Asian-American. I'm not sure she even has an American status. She's Asian. She's not. I don't even think she's even American. She speaks English, but she's made a lot of movies in English, but she didn't start off English as far as I know. I'm pretty sure she was born in Hong Kong. Most of her early films were, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. So it's nice to see someone, staying with the industry and getting the kudos, getting the award to say, okay, yeah, we love you. Here's an award. And that always helps them with, because they'll always have that as their credit, Academy Award winner Michelle Yeoh. So now she'll get hopefully better roles, better recognition. So good for her. Best director, again, Daniel Kwan for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Just basically swept almost all the awards. So good for him and good for Daniel Scheinert. Because now hopefully that'll make it easier for them to get their next project made, which hopefully will be just as good or whatever. But, of course, to me, the biggest winner of all is, of course, Ke Huy Quan. If I'm mispronouncing his name, please, I apologize to Ke or Ke. For me, he will always, of course, be Short Round. Other people will say he'll always be the kid from Goonies. But either way, most people always remember him from his childhood roles when he first started off as an actor. And one of the things I read about was that at one point when he was growing up, agents tried to get him to change his name because his name was excessively Asian. And so they said, well, it's kind of hard to, get that, put that on a billboard or whatever. So as a kid, he's like, of course, I'll do whatever to stay in Hollywood and to get work. But let's face it, if you have the choice of changing your name and working or not changing your name and not working, well, most people will go for the changing name, especially if you're a young kid. Even John Mellencamp had changed his name to John Cougar at one point, where he finally was able to get his name back. And Schwarzenegger, and much as people want to say, hey, Schwarzenegger never changed his name, yes, he did. At one point, he was known as Arnold Strong. And then he decided, I don't want to be Arnold Strong. That's a stupid name. I want everybody to learn my name. And Ke Huy Quan, same thing. He said, you know what? People need to learn how to pronounce Asian names. And I know I'm mispronouncing it, and I apologize to the key if I'm not pronouncing you correctly. I'm trying my best. But I'm so glad that he's using that name because good for him, not going for some Americanized name. Use your real name. That's your name. Own it and be proud of it. And he is, as well as he should be. So he won, and it's also so great when a child actor who disappeared from Hollywood and makes a comeback as an adult wins, because it shows that they aren't just that kid. Doogie Howser with Neil Patrick Harris isn't just Doogie Howser. For me, he'll always be Doogie Howser, but for other people, he'll be Jack, whatever his character's name was, on How I Married Your Mother or whatever. He's an excessively talented man. So way beyond the kid role he did as a child doctor, he's earned the right to to be around now and that's like I think I mentioned this before. Saw a video of him for the birthday of I forget the playwright's name, Stephen Sondheim, and he did a video of him performing The Witch's Lament from Into the Woods, and it was absolutely brilliant. Almost acapella. I think his husband was just playing keyboards, or he recorded like a keyboard thing behind it, so he had something to sing to. And their kids are standing in front of him. They have like one line in the song, just what the baker's. I think one of them only has the one line where the baker. So the baker says like, "Oh, I had a brother. No, but you had a sister." And but Neil is brilliant. He delivers it so perfectly without even moving. He only does is just move his head around, and his dialogue and the singing is just perfect. So I love it when a child actor is able to come back and show that they're more than just a cute kid. They're actually a talented person. And so, Ke Huy, good for you. Love you. Love you. I'm so happy that Short Round got is now being recognized as a talented actor and not just a Short Round. So good for him, and hopefully this will lead to him and maybe more Asian-Americans getting key roles, no pun intended, you know, getting some key roles in this. So good for him. Good for him. And, of course, Jamie Lee Curtis. Well, for Jamie Lee, I'm also very, very happy because, well, I love Jamie Lee. She's been in the industry forever. I mean, she obviously was in my favorite film series, Halloween. And what I love about her and the Halloween movies is that she doesn't shirk away from them. There's a lot of, actors who got their start in horror movies and have maybe been, like, kind of embarrassed by them, especially if they weren't great horror movies. I mean, I can definitely understand if Jennifer Aniston doesn't hold up the horror movie that she was in. I think it was, I forget which one it was. I think it was Leprechaun. Now I think about it. I think she was in one of the Leprechaun movies. I'm not even sure if it was even the first one. But either way, she was in one of those movies, and it's a terrible movie. So I can understand her being embarrassed by it. But Jamie Lee Curtis has never been one to shirk away from being in Halloween. She's come back. She's made, I think, more Halloween movies than anybody else involved with the films. She was in the first one. She did the first sequel, then disappeared for a while, and then came back for H2O and did its sequel. So that was four movies at that point, and then disappeared, and then came back to the series again for three more. So that's what, four, five, six, seven movies? She did seven Halloween movies. And some of them, yes, not great movies, but you know, some of them actually are pretty decent. And she does a great job in them, so good for her. So I love it. And also Jamie Lee Curtis winning again for everything everywhere all at once, playing so against type and showcasing the fact that, and not, you know, running away from the fact that she's older, not trying to still look like, and even when she does the return to Halloween as Laurie Strode, she's not afraid to appear as an old woman or as an older woman, shall we say. To be all glamorous and be like, oh, I have to make sure I'm shot through gauze or whatever. No, she owns what she looks like. She's like, this is me. If you don't like it, then that's your problem. That's not mine. And so I love her for that. So everywhere, all once winner, Jamie Lee Curtis, good for her. So that was, that one swept. All Quiet on the Western Front didn't get Best Picture, but they did get it for Best Foreign Film. And here we go. This is why I never heard of it. It was from Germany. That's why. See, I didn't even know that. So it got nominated twice. It did get its win, so good for them. Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, love the fact that Disney tried to do a new version of Pinocchio, but Guillermo del Toro said, no, that's not the way you do Pinocchio. Yes, Disney's Pinocchio worked back in the 40s or whenever it was when that first film came out, but now it's time to redo it, but go back to its original fairy tale. And that's what Guillermo wanted to do. He wanted to do the original fairy tale, not Disney's version of it. So his version got a big win, so good for him. And Guillermo is an awesome director. Screenplay of Royal, once again, winning. Women Talking got Best Adapted Screenplay. Good for them. Again, I don't even know what that movie is. I'm sure it's sure to be some movie. I'm not smacking it. Probably smacking myself for not knowing anything about it. Avatar won for Best Visual Effects, and that is deserved. I can't imagine. I mean, Black Panther also was nominated, and I would have given that. It might have given it to that one, but Avatar was all about the special effects. That's about, for me, it was almost all it was, and it was excellent for that. So anyway, so that's my reaction to the winners and the losers. I am very happy for most of the winners, and think that there's no one that I'm thinking, oh, I can't believe that film won. No, all of them were well-deserved. I'm happy for them, so kudos. All right, so the last few minutes of the show, I do want to talk a little bit about what's coming up in the theaters. This week is Shazam, Shazam 2. Now, my big issue with it, and I do want to see it, but, of course, my only problem with the Shazam movies is that, I'm a 50-plus-year-old guy, so the Shazam movies are not really my – I'm not the core audience, shall we say, because the Shazam movies are made more for kids because the main character is a kid who is given superhero powers and turns into an adult. Out of all the superhero movies that are being made right now, is the one that's most geared for, kids under the age of 15, because it shows that, hey, a 15-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 10-year-old can be a superhero too, and that's great. So I am looking forward to it because I liked the first one. I thought the first one was well done. It was funny. But again, I'm not really the core audience anymore. I'm the core audience for more movies, more DC films like The Batman. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about this week.
My biggest issue with DC right now is, number one, that they're completely ending everything and starting over from scratch. The guy who created or did the three Guardians of the Galaxy films is now taking over DC and has said, okay, I need to wipe this slate clean. We need to start over. And I do agree with him. The problem with the DC films is that they're all over the map. The Marvel films, they have a unified vision from the beginning. And so all the directors that came in were basically told, your film has to fit into this. Yes, you can do what you want in your film, but you can't do something so completely out of whack that it doesn't fit into the major storyline. It's kind of like, I guess the way I look at it is the Marvel films right now are like a TV series where every week you have a different director. And if you look at most television shows, especially sitcoms, they have different directors, directing different episodes, mostly because they're overlapping and they can't always get the same director every week. So they'll have one director do two or three episodes, and then another director will come in and do another episode here and there. And, Star Trek, the Friends, all those shows didn't always have the same director every week. And the Marvel films were like that. But even though they had different directors, you didn't notice it. Each show, each episode still fit together, so they felt like it was directed by one person. The DC films aren't that way. They're all over the map, and they released them so far apart at this point that you're left going, what happened in the last film? I forget. And they don't really connect anymore. And also, they haven't been as well received as the Marvel films that have been. So you have the Wonder Woman movies, which were released years apart, and you kind of forgotten what happened. Fans hated the Justice League film, so they went and redid it as this epically long miniseries that was much better than, in my opinion, than the theatrical release, but it was way too long. It was kind of it didn't need to be, this 14-hour miniseries or whatever it seemed like. And when I watched it, I was like, oh, God, is this ever going to end? It reminded me too much of the film Wyatt Earp, starring Kevin Costner. The Kevin Costner Wyatt Earp film, I thought was a decent movie, but way too long. And it got to the point where they had this scene at the end of the movie, and I was like, oh, my God, is the movie still going? I thought the story was over. Now we still have this other scene to watch, which is oh my God, end the movie already. Can we get to the credits? And for me, Justice League got that way. It was oh my God, when is it going to end? It was weird because I thought that everything worked. It was still a better movie, but it just was way too long. Whereas the original Justice League film was way too short, way too choppy, because you had two directors coming in with two completely different visions that made the film go, wait a minute, now what's happening? Now you had this and then this. So the theatrical release wasn't very good, but then the extended version was better. But either way, my biggest problem is that now you don't know what is in the continuity and what isn't. So it just got to be too confusing. And then even worse, they started making movies like The Joker and The Batman, which aren't even part of the continuity anyway. So it's like you're watching a TV series and then there's another show that comes on using the same characters, but has nothing to do with the series that you're watching. So every week I'm watching an episode of Friends, but on another channel they're showing another show called The Friends with the same characters but different actors. But it has nothing to do with the show you're watching. So I'm like, but the same characters? I'm confused now. So they're all over the map, and they still want to do a sequel to The Joker. They want to do a sequel to The Batman. But personally, I couldn't really care. And at this point, too, I want to see the Shazam because it looks like it's fun, but they've already said that now they're not going to do another sequel to it. So to me, it's almost like, well, what's the point then? What's the point of even bothering to go see the new movies? The Flash looks good only because I want to see Michael Keaton return as Batman, but whatever. Anyway, so that's my feeling. I'll let you know next week. I'll probably go try and check out Shazam this weekend, and then I'll let you know what my feelings on it and let you know then you can decide whether or not you want to go see it. Although I suggest you go see it anyway. Anyway, so that's the show. That's it. Next week, I'll be back talking more about the movie. So have fun, baby. Take care.